Welcome to the Quill Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quill Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dowell, and we're reading my work in progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quill Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 35. From The Quilting Life with Emmeline Grangerfield, The Farmer's Wife, November 1934. Quilting with Friends. Have you ever made a quilt with friends from start to finish? From choosing a pattern to divvying up the work, who will make which blocks and what colors, to piecing those blocks together into a beautiful top? Well, my dears, I have, and I'm here to highly recommend the endeavor. First of all, the quilt is finished in a flash. But perhaps even more importantly, it's as though each block becomes a fingerprint of sorts. To the untrained eye, it appears exactly the same as the one beside it. But look closer, and the idiosyncratic aspects leap out at you. Emmeline leaned back in her chair and stared at the paper ensconced in her typewriter. Sometimes she wrote things that she meant in the moment with all of her heart, and then a moment later, she began to have her doubts. For instance, the quilt they'd made for Bess and Joe had certainly not come together in a flash. Oh, everyone had the best intentions, but they were all far too busy to set their sights on accomplishing a single small task. Florence had the new house to attend to, while Eula had decided to teach two different classes this fall, quilt making for beginners and applique for beginners, and had been busy gathering supplies and making samples. Not to mention outfitting Maisie for the sixth grade. Dorothy was revamping the cafe menu and up to her ears in pie recipes. No, the only dependable person in the whole crew was Elise, and she was perhaps the busiest of them all, what with a baby, a new house, and a farm to care for. But she'd been determined to help. "I feel as though I'm slowly getting back into the swing of life," she wrote in the typed note that accompanied her first two blocks. "And while I have a million things that need doing, I still need to take a little time for myself when the baby goes down for her afternoon nap. Making these blocks has been the perfect excuse to sit still and rest a minute. I just hope you'll fix up any little mistakes I've made." Emmeline had examined the blocks closely and found their stitches even, each square and triangle perfectly placed. It shouldn't come as a surprise, she supposed, given that Eula and Florence had been the girls' teachers. "Your blocks are simply lovely," she'd exclaimed in a handwritten note sent by return mail. "Would you consider stitching two more?" Elise had happily complied, sending the finished blocks the next week. Emmeline dedicated herself to making eight blocks while waiting impatiently for the others to make one at the very least. To be fair, she had ample time to stitch her blocks on the trip to Emporia. She hadn't planned on making eight, she'd told Margie as their train made its way past Cincinnati, but she feared that the others wouldn't get theirs done in time. "The irony is, Bess would have no problem getting the blocks done. She's the least busy of us all these days," Emmeline said to her daughter. "Once she helped Edwina get all packed up, she was free as a bird." "Oh, she does the things a rector's wife does, I suppose, teas and visits. But surely she'd have plenty of time to sew quilt blocks. These are as easy as pie." To Emmeline's shock, Margie said, "Would you like me to help? We're going to be on this train for hours and hours. It might be fun to have something to pass the time." "Of course," Emmeline had replied, doing her best to keep her voice steady. I'm sure I've packed twice the fabric that I need. You can sew all you want. Let me show you how the pieces fit together. It pleased Emmeline that Margie took to piecing so quickly, though she supposed it shouldn't surprise her. After all, the girl was her daughter, and no one had taken to quilting faster than Emmeline. From time to time, she'd wondered about her own mother's gifts in the needle arts. She assumed they would be prodigious as well, but there was no evidence to make the case. After her mother's death, Emmeline's father had been so deep in grief that he rid their house of almost all reminders of his late wife. As a result, there had been no quilts, no embroidered handkerchiefs, no needle-pointed pillows to provide evidence that Emmeline's mother had indeed been a needlewoman. But she must have been, Emmeline always believed. Not that sewing skills couldn't be taught to those who had no family history of stitching, but genius couldn't be taught. No, genius was a gift handed down through the generations. Watching Margie make her tiny, neat stitches was like watching herself under the willow tree in the McGrory's backyard on Cottonwood Street all those years ago. Emmeline could still recall looking up to see Mrs. McGrory smiling at her from the kitchen window as she and Maureen pieced blocks on a blanket in the grass. Thinking of this, Emmeline had turned to smile at her daughter. Sadly, instead of returning her beatific gaze, Margie had scowled and then growled, "Don't look at me, Mother. You're making me nervous." Emmeline left that part out when recounting the scene to her dear friend Rose Kretzinger the following evening. "She looked up at me and smiled," she told Rose. "It was as though, in that moment, we were one." Emmeline liked that version of the story so much, it was the one she would tell for the rest of her life. From Quilting with Friends, continued. Now that it's become so much less expensive to send things through the mail, you might consider another sort of quilt to make with friends, a round robin quilt. Round robin isn't a block pattern. It's a method of producing blocks for a quilt. There are several ways of conducting a round robin. My favorite is for each member of the group to make a block of her own design and then send it to the next girl in the circle, who then creates a block that's a playful response to the original. Blocks get passed around until every member gets her own block back, along with the blocks the other round robin members have made for her quilt. The only trick is putting together a group where each member can be depended upon to keep the blocks moving. "Now, would you just look at these?" Rose Kretzinger exclaimed when Margie shyly offered for review the three blocks she'd stitched between Cincinnati and Kansas City, where Rose had met the Grangerfields at the station. "They're absolutely gorgeous. Are you sure you're new at this, Margaret?" Emmeline almost corrected her friend, but stopped when she saw Margie smile as though she liked being referred to by such a grown-up appellation. "I'm absolutely positive," Margaret replied. "And now I'm dying to look at your quilts. Mother says that you're a true artist." Emmeline did her best to squelch any feelings of jealousy she had as she watched Margie fall all over Rose Kretzinger with admiration and adoration. What was Rose Kretzinger other than a mirror image of herself, except perhaps a soupçon more famous? But that was simply because Rose had been in the public eye a few years longer than Emmeline, and it helped that she was known not just as a quilter, but as a quilt artist. At first, she'd felt a touch of pique the way Rose became Margie's tour guide over the next 3 days. After all, that should have been Emmeline's role, not only because she was Margie's mother, but also because she was the true native of Emporia, while Rose, born elsewhere in Kansas, had mostly grown up in Abilene, Texas. But as she followed Rose and Margie while their small group meandered through town, Rose pointing out this landmark or that one, Emmeline realized she appreciated having the time to truly take in the surroundings. Funny how far she'd come over the years, she mused as she followed Rose and Margie onto the grounds of Emporia State University. From that lost little girl to a nationally renowned quilting columnist. If one were to write the story of her life, surely they'd begin here, on these streets, though they were much quieter when Emmeline had been a girl, before automobiles had overtaken the roads. When did her life truly become interesting? Certainly all of it was interesting to her. But Emmeline recognized that not everyone would find her childhood years as compelling as she did. But how about the story of a young country girl heading off to the big university? And then the beautiful young bride married to the handsome and wealthy man about town. Now, those were stories people would be interested in, Emmeline thought as Rose and Margie chatted about what college Margie might attend.
What college did you attend, Mrs. Kretzinger?
The Art Institute of Chicago?
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
That decided it. Emmeline would start her novel the minute they got back to Milton Falls, or the minute she finished Joe and Bess's quilt.
I just had the most marvelous idea, Emmeline said breathlessly, catching up with Rose and Margie.
My friend Bess would be oh so thrilled if you would add a block or two to her wedding quilt. You could send them to me in the mail as soon as you finish. Rose smiled at Margie.
Only if Margaret promises to send me some blocks of her own in reply.
Perhaps the two of us could work on a quilt together.
What an enchanting idea, Emmeline exclaimed, already searching her mind for the perfect opening line of her novel. From Quilting with Friends, continued.
Perhaps one of the girls in your B is about to become a grandmother. Can you think of a more perfect gift for her to give the new baby than a quilt made by her dearest friends? Or maybe someone dear to you is getting married in midlife after losing her beloved first husband to illness. This was the case in my little bee. Beloved Bess, a widow of nearly 3 years, tied the knot with wonderful Joe, a widower himself. They did so quietly, as behooves an older couple, but the girls of my bee still wanted to celebrate their union.
Should Emmeline include the block pattern with this column? The Lover's Lane block was terribly simple and rather dull to piece, yet the resulting quilt, at least the one she and the others had made, was stunning. She'd worried that it wouldn't be, that the 24 blocks would clash with one another, even though Emmeline had given each contributor fabric samples to guide their color choices. It probably helped that she'd made 8 of the blocks and had given Rose and Margie the fabric for their contributions. That meant the majority of the blocks employed the same colors and prints, though to different degrees and in different combinations. The quilt had come together in a series of secret gatherings on the 4th floor of building number 5. In spite of their busy lives, Dorothy, Florence, and Eula joined with Emmeline to sew the blocks into a top and then to quilt the quilt. At their very last meeting, which took place at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, a mere 4 days before Bess and Joe's gala celebration, it almost felt like a party as they chatted gaily away about this and that. When Emmeline said so, everyone agreed.
The only one who's missing is Bess, Dorothy lamented. I know we want this to be a surprise, but it does seem odd to be quilting without her.
But if Bess were here, that would spoil everything, Emmeline said. And we've worked so hard to make this quilt a surprise.
I'm afraid you didn't work quite hard enough.
Bess stood at the doorway, her sewing basket in hand. It's nobody's fault, really, but when I went to Florence's yesterday to see her new screened porch, the phone rang, and I could hear her side of the conversation from where I was standing in the kitchen.
7 p.m. tomorrow night, I heard Florence say. Building number 5 is the perfect place to make a quilt you're trying to keep a secret.
Bess approached the quilting frame. I had some idea that the surprise was for me, and I knew I'd spoil it if I came. Honestly, it didn't cross my mind again until 15 minutes ago. I had a rare night home alone this evening, and I was planning on making the most of it. Joe has a vestry meeting, and Helen's at play practice. Joe's picking her up after the meeting. And Jane is studying with a friend at the library. I'm to fetch her at 9. Anyway, there I was, enjoying a bit of quiet, stitching away, when I started to feel a little lonely. I turned on the radio to listen to a program, and that made me think of Dorothy and how we used to sew together at lunch, and how much I missed those times. I'm sorry, but I couldn't help it. I had to come over and see what you girls were up to.
Emmeline wasn't the least bit pleased. She'd worked so hard to make this quilt a surprise. Not only that, but she'd spent hours upon hours designing it and organizing everyone and making sure that Edwina had made a block before she left.
Oh, Emmeline, you're crying, Bess exclaimed. And Emmeline supposed that she was.
Don't pay me a bit of attention, she said as she dabbed her eyes with a handkerchief. I'm just tired from getting the children ready for school again and planning the party for you and Joe, and I've had 2 committee meetings already this week, and those always take so much out of me. She paused. A vague thought that had been floating around her mind for days, suddenly taking shape. And I've been missing my mother. I thought about her so much when I was in Emporia last week. In that moment, Emmeline felt as though she were standing outside of herself, listening to an absolute stranger. She'd had no idea she'd been feeling this way. Why, she'd been happy as a little lamb, working on Bess and Joe's quilt and making Margie new dresses for school and making lists of tasks for Cora to get ready for the party and deciding on a menu. These sorts of activities energized her. They didn't make her sad. Bess walked over and stood by her side. Oh, you poor darling. You were so young when you lost your mother. And then, much to Emmeline's surprise, Bess put a hand on her forehead as though checking for a fever. No wonder you're feeling sad, and now I've come and spoiled everything.
Emmeline planned every last bit of the quilt, Florence said. She came up with the design and stayed on us like the firmest taskmaster, herding us here 2 nights in a row to put the thing together. She's done a marvelous job.
And I've spoiled it, Bess repeated. She began to circle the frame. And the quilt is so lovely.
You haven't spoiled the quilt, Dorothy pointed out. Just the surprise. Honestly, I think it's nice that you're here, seeing us at work on a quilt for you and Joe. You'll remember us gathered around it every time you walk by it. You'll have our picture in your mind.
Well, that's exactly right, Eula agreed before turning to Emmeline. And she'll always remember how hard you work to make everything exactly right. You're a good friend, Emmeline. If it took Bess spoiling the surprise for me to say that to you, then I'm glad she came tonight.
Emmeline sniffed.
"Margie made two of the blocks," she told Bess. "It turns out she likes to sew."
"Bess, why don't you and I go downstairs and get some pie and coffee for refreshments?" Dorothy suggested as she got up from her seat. "I know there's going to be a big party on Saturday, but I think it would be nice to have a little party here tonight."
Emmeline watched as the two women left the room. Maybe this is what the party should have been all along, the five of them on the fourth floor, quilting a quilt and eating pie. Really, she couldn't think of a better way to celebrate.
Quilting with Friends. Conclusion.
I do so hope you'll consider making a quilt with your friends. It will bring you all closer together as you share tips and tricks and admire each other's sewing smarts. Be sure when you're done to have someone take a photo to commemorate your group effort. Not that you'll ever forget the friends you've made around a quilting frame. No, my dears, they'll be stitched into your heart forever. Yours in the quilting life, Emmeline Grangerfield.
Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.